Hello, Bears fans. Welcome back to a brand new edition of Bears on Tap. I am Ron Luce. I am joined by the one, the only, the math slash numbers expert himself, Mr. Quentin Crisco. Q, how you doing, buddy, before we talk all things Bears?
I'm doing good, man. I'm relieved that the preseason's over. If no one has caught my vibe of, like, I just do not enjoy preseason. And I'm just grumpy through it all because I'm just like, I just don't like the conversations of preseason. But we're here. We're done. It's season time. Game plans are going in right now, and I'm excited.
I am also excited. You are to Bears on Tap as our fellow co-host here at Bears on Tap. Juice is to Cubs on Tap. You both hate the preseason. He hates spring training. I'll tell you right now. He bitches
fake
about it.
Fake sports are just the worst. Man.
Fake sports are the worst. It's a tease. It's nothing but a tease. We want the real thing. And just as you mentioned, Q, we are going to get the real thing because the Bears officially submit their 53-man roster, just as every team in the NFL did on Tuesday. And like you said, game plans are going in now for week one. It's all about the Green Bay Packers here at Bears on Tap, here in the Chicagoland area, and certainly at Halas Hall. But Q, let's break down this 53-man a little bit because it's kind of interesting how it shook out, right? You saw a lot of people taking their stabs at what they expected the roster to be over the last week or so. Now we have a lot of answers, which I think is kind of the exciting part. So for starters, I mean, let's just talk about some of the cuts. You know, quite a few notable cuts, obviously cuts that weren't mentioned today that were a part of the cuts in theory were Alex Leatherwood and PJ Walker. Those were announced on Sunday night via the Bears. They actually made those official on Sunday night, which as soon as that happened, everybody's like, oh, did Tyson Bagent win the second quarterback job? Well, today, Nathan Peterman gets cut. So Tyson Bagent is officially QB2 on the Bears roster. But just from the top, Q, of the cuts, what are some of the things that stood out to you here for the Bears?
I mean, honestly, I don't feel like there's anything too surprising in here outside of the, like you said, the Bagent news. And I don't know if it was Poles who said it or Eberflus. I think it was Eberflus who said it, that they're going to be looking for a veteran to bring in because they don't want to just be Bagent and that's it behind Fields. But outside of that, I felt like everything was pretty par for the course. Little surprise, DeMarcus Gates got cut. You know, linebacker did some nice things on special teams last year, made some plays in coverage here and there. Mika Baskerville seemed like he was playing well in the preseason. But outside of that, I mean, I was rooting for Travis Bell, but I knew it was probably a losing battle. And a lot of these guys who I'm mentioning, they're coming back. You know, I mean, they're going to be back with the Bears after back on the practice squad. So it's not like you're talking about a ton of guys who you're like are going to be gone, you know, going to be going to other teams. The only guys that are like that are probably like Kendall Vildor or Travis Gibson, which if you asked me at the end of last year, I would have been shocked by, you know, but at this point, after seeing where they were on the depth chart, after seeing when they were playing in the preseason games, it's hard to say that those were surprises now, you know, all the new information that we have. Supposedly they were close to it for a trade on Travis Gibson, but it didn't materialize. And I guess they'd rather, you know, let him find his new place than get a ham sandwich in return. So they let him go.
It really, it depends on what kind of ham, I think, ham sandwich, if you ask me. But no, I'm in agreement with you, right? I think the Gibson and Vildor ones are, like you said, right? If you would have asked us after week 17 last year that if these guys would have been on the bubble for the roster, you would have been like, absolutely not. They, sure, like the D-line played terrible altogether, but like Gibson wasn't atrocious. And Vildor played a lot of meaningful snaps for the Bears. And I think that's the thing with a lot of these cuts. They're guys that in the last two seasons especially have played a lot of meaningful snaps for the Bears. And I think that's why it's weird seeing their names kind of now officially shuffle out. Obviously, a lot of that has to do with Ryan Poles bringing in a full draft class, not his kind of bag of misfit toys that he had last year in terms of draft picks.
Yeah.
Now you're starting to see it, though, right? Cornerback, two rookie corners that were drafted this year as a part of the of Poles' group. Obviously, the rookie D tackles from the second and third round. Like, it really started to just add up to the fact that, like you said, Vildor and Gibson, once you saw kind of where they were on the depth chart, it wasn't terribly surprising. One thing I will note that was interesting, speaking of Gibson really quick before I turn it back to you for any thoughts as well. Reports, quote-unquote, air quotes here, reports said that he requested a trade. Well, as soon as he was cut today, he said, he was like on Twitter, he said, lastly, I did not request a trade. So, interesting thing there. I agree. I think the trade was probably something they were trying to do regardless, just to give him a better start. But I think they did right by him by just letting him walk. And now he can kind of go where, you know, a team thinks he's actually going to fit what they're trying to do.
Yeah, I would imagine that what happened there is kind of, even if he didn't request a trade, like the Bears could tell his agent, hey, if you can find a trade, have at it, you know, regardless of whether he asked for it or not, just because they'd like to get something back. You know, they probably want to let the agent do the like work there. But and I think that can devolve quickly into like the guy wants out, which doesn't seem like it was the case with Gibson. I'm a little perplexed as to what the purpose of losing Gibson is, and same with Vildor to a lesser degree. They're guys who are just fine depth. You know, I feel like Gibson is probably a fine fourth edge rusher on just about any team in the NFL.
Oh yeah,
and it's a little odd that they want to just move on from him and cut ties. But, you know, these guys know a lot more about football than I do. They know what they're trying to do. And all I can say is that's odd.
Yeah. And part of me wonders, and obviously, you know, he put his hand in the dirt in college, so it's not like it's the first time he ever did it. But I wonder if a lot of the scheme change drove some of that decision, right? Maybe that they just felt like Gibson was a better stand-up defensive end in more of a 3-4 system than, you know, what the Bears do with their, you know, the 43 Tampa 2 inspired defense. And one thing also worth clarifying too, I think, like you said, right, I don't think it was ever Gibson wanted out. I think a lot of people heard the initial report, because the actual report was the Bears granted him permission to seek a trade, like you noted,
right?
I think a lot of people took that and spun that and said he wants out, he's requested a trade, which is, like you said, not the case. But yeah, it really is interesting. Like, to me, that is, especially because, like, he played pretty well in the preseason. Sure, it was probably against a lot of twos and threes because of when he was getting into games, but he made game impacting plays when he was in. So I think it's really interesting just kind of watching how that whole situation evolved, especially when you look at the fact that, now, granted, I know DeMarcus Walker is going to kick inside a lot, especially on passing downs. And that's probably why they kept more ends than D tackles.
Yeah.
But I mean, they kept five defensive ends. Obviously, Yannick Ngakoue is the biggest name of that group, and they weren't going to cut Robinson after drafting him just a season ago. It's kind of interesting seeing how the rest of that group shook out, right? With Terrell Lewis coming in and making a huge impact for the Bears at the defensive end position, and Rasheem Green doing the same thing. You know, both of those guys overtaking Travis Gibson on the depth chart, which I think, at least for me, was a lot of a surprise when that original depth chart came out. But then you kind of saw it in the preseason when those two got into game action. They did a lot of really good things for the Bears.
Yeah, as you're saying that, it kind of sounds to me like Travis Gibson was in a battle with Terrell Lewis, and Terrell Lewis won. Because when you break it down that way, so you're saying you got DeMarcus Walker. I always want to say DeMarcus Robinson. I don't know why. That's a receiver. But DeMarcus Walker and Rasheem Green are both more hybrid guys. You're going to kick inside on passing downs at times, right? So that they fit a multiple role kind of thing. And then, like you said, Rasheem Green. The kid they drafted last year.
Robinson.
With Robinson, you are there's too many Robinsons flying around here in my head.
There are a lot of Robinsons.
So with him, they just drafted him. They like the upside. They like the athletic profile. I would think that if there's anyone that they could get away with stashing, it probably would be him, but clearly they don't want to. So you figure you got those three spots at edge locked in, and then you have, like we said, Terrell Lewis and Travis Gibson battling outside of Ngakoue. So Ngakoue gave you four, and then if you're going to keep five, you have those two left. And right. Terrell Lewis is probably a tough battle in this camp. You know, I mean, he was, we heard about him constantly all throughout training camp that he was, you know, looked really good in all the practices. He looked really good in the preseason. And I mean, he's a former third round pick. Kid went to Alabama. He's got talent. You know, it's been injuries that have really held him back.
Yeah, 100%. And I think for that reason, right, it feels like Ryan Poles has done a good job in the last few years of like finding some of these guys, right? Like they're not going to come in and they're not going to be stars per se, but like meaningful contributors, right? They did that on the waiver wire last year. I feel like all the guys that they brought in via the waiver wire, 90% of them made some type of impact on the team, even if it was on special teams. So it feels like Ryan Poles and company in that front office have a way of finding those kind of guys. And like you noted, it's not like Terrell Lewis was some, you know, undrafted free agent rookie that came in and was a former third round pick. I mean, this guy, like you said, has talent, especially with the pedigree of coming from Alabama. Quickly, Q, just like you mentioned, a lot of these guys probably return on the practice squad. I completely agree there. Worth noting a trio of names that the Bears originally reported that could be back, Nathan Peterman being one, supposedly that they want to bring back in on the practice squad. Travis Bell and Steven Carlson are the other two. So three guarantees of guys that like they're really hoping to bring back on the practice squad. But I would expect to see, right, probably a Baskerville. I would expect to probably see I'm looking at the list here for people that are wondering what the heck I'm looking at.
She's probably coming back, I would think.
Yeah,
definitely. Iceland. I mean, it seems like he's been here for 5 years now on the practice squad.
Yeah, he's been here for a hot minute.
Yeah,
so Barrington Wade maybe too.
Quite a few guys here. I think Michael Omudi is a guy who I'd really hope they can bring back on the practice squad because he's a guy who I thought showed some potential in Denver in his early years. I mean, he was like a third round pick or something, or fourth round pick maybe. And then just kind of fizzled out there. I think he fell out of favor with the coaching staff or something like that. And he's bounced around a little now, but like, I mean, I think that he's a guy who can provide quality depth if you need it.
Yeah. And speaking of needing depth, I mean, we saw it at the cornerback position last year for this Bears team. They went deep into the depth late in the season there, especially at corner, probably more than any other position, in my humble opinion. Some other notable names for those that maybe haven't looked at the list yet but are listening to us, or if you are just listening to us and you've forgotten some of the names, Bravion Roy, defensive tackle, among the cuts as well. A very notable one, the fullback, Robert Burns, who scored
Bobby
a
touchdown Burns.
And a two-pointer in the finale. Barrington Wade, another Chicagoland guy. I would expect him to be back. Michael Walker is another guy that drove, drummed up some interest during the season. But worth noting, there were six guys also queued that were cut that, rather than going through the waiver wire, they are just free agents because they are vested veterans in the NFL. And that list is defense tackle Andrew Brown, offensive tackle Aviante Collins, a guy that I was a little surprised to see them cut. Not super surprised, but a little surprised. I think the way Larry Borum played in the preseason made him very clearly expendable. Darius Fountain, I know, probably a guy that a lot of people were rooting for to make the roster. Obviously, we already talked about Peterman, but Greg Stroman Jr. and Simba Webster were also a part of that group. So, I mean, all of them are eligible to come back on the practice squad, right? I think you can have six vested veterans on your practice squad is how it works. So we could see all six of them back. We could see a few of them back. We'll see. But to me, the two that if the Bears can get them back, it's Darius Fountain and probably Peterman out of that group just because of the positional need. And having a guy like Fountain around would probably be nice, especially if, you know, you get a couple injuries. Chase Claypool has to battle some injuries again. You know, Darnell Mooney's coming back fresh off an injury as well. You know, there's some guys that could get banged up, and all of a sudden we could see Darius Fountain on this roster at some point this season. So anything additional, Q, with those six names as well?
Yeah, I think Fountain's a guy who you'd love to have back just from the – from the point of, like, you think about what's the point of the practice squad, right? It's, you are the win team, you are the scout team, however you want to put it, like, out of high school terms, like, that's what the practice squad ultimately is. So getting a guy like Peterman or Fountain, who have played in multiple systems, played multiple roles, know multiple offenses, there's value to that. Like, that is a big part of what you need on the practice squad. I mean, even a guy like Nsimba Webster, who's been with a few different teams, that playing those roles and trying to replicate your opponent, having guys who have been around a little bit can only help. And that I think that's a big part of what you target with those vested veterans. That combined with, like, Webster, I think it makes a lot of sense for him to be back on the practice squad because he can catch punts. Like, that's it's an important thing to have just ready to go when you need it. So you're not, you know, signing Ted Ginn Jr. off the street. Like, so, I mean, I definitely think that those three, Fountain, Peterman, Webster, are guys who you're kind of targeting as your vested veterans on the practice squad.
Agree completely. And Q, I love that you brought that point up, right? Because I feel like a lot of football fans in general, right? I don't want to use the term casual football fans, because I think there's some people that are hardcore fans too that just dismiss the practice squad immediately. But like you said, giving your offense and defense a look in game plan for that week is massive. I did a lot of scout team when I was in college, so I know all about scout team. I did scout team when I was in high school too, especially my varsity years, because I only played offensive line. So anytime it was, you know, defensive focus, I was helping run the scout team offense. And we've seen it. Like, it's documented in different places. I think back to the NFL Network series that they did with all the Super Bowl winners. And I'm drawing a name on the blank on the name right now of the series. But I know you know what I'm talking about.
It was part of the NFL 100?
No.
That they did, or was it something different?
It was every year after a team would win the Super Bowl, they did, like, where it was three people from the team. Like, it was a coach maybe, or like two players or three players. And they would, like, it would go through the season and narrate the season. You would hear from the players, like, interject their thoughts.
Oh, okay. It's
going to
kill
me. I'm going to have to Google this, because I have the whole, like, 50 of them on, because it was through, I think, like, Super Bowl 45 at the time. I have, like, the whole 45 DVD set of all of them. They're awesome. They're the coolest things ever. I have to find them. But the one discussing the 01 Patriots, they talked how important Damon Heward was imitating Peyton Manning.
Yeah. I remember hearing about that.
Like, to your point though, right? Like, the scout team guys make a huge difference for, even at the NFL level, that still makes a difference. So getting, and especially because Fountain was good in the preseason, right? Having a guy with skill like that as a number one receiver on your practice squad can give your top corners a great look. Like you said, with Webster from the punt return perspective as well. And then Peterman, I mean, he's been around long enough. People like him enough to at least keep him.
Four different teams.
Yeah.
Four different offenses. I mean that there's a lot of knowledge in there.
Absolutely. And that can help with even in just meetings, probably, right? Like, if I'm a D coordinator personally, I never called defense in my entire life. I'll just call it what it is. But if I was a DC, the backup quarterbacks would be guys I would be talking to, especially guys that are vets. Cause I would say, how would you dissect this defense? What would you do? That way, you know what you need to call to combat it, right? I mean, it's competitive advantage at that point. So in agreement with you there, totally, Q. I think those are the three guys too that stood out to me in terms of bringing those vested veterans back. And it sounds like the Bears, at least with Peterman, are intended that as well. I could see Darius Fountain getting a shot somewhere. I don't think it's totally out of the realm of possibility, but in agreement with you, I think all three would be good gets to retain on the practice squad. And we'll know more on Wednesday, because once waivers and everything else clears and happens, practice squads can then be established as well. Q, any final thoughts on the cuts before we focus on the actual 53 man?
I think we covered about everything that needs to be covered here. I mean, because I imagine to the average listener, lot of these names don't mean a whole lot. Like, I mean, I can't sit here and tell you I know a whole lot about Josh Lugg or Logan Stenberg, Davion Taylor, but like, they're gone. Wish them the best of luck, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Agreed. And I think, like you mentioned, right, there are still plenty of names, though, that I think fans noticed quite a bit during the preseason with this Bears team. And again, to your point, can make great additions to the practice squad, assuming they don't get looks elsewhere, which who knows, maybe they do.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of the NFL and kind of this time of the year is you might not work out on one team, but there might be another team or a couple other teams that see what you did and say, hey, we like that. Let's go get this guy and bring him into our room as well. Selfishly, shameless plug, but as we're discussing this, we're, you know, 20 minutes in, if you go and rewatch this live on the YouTube account, well, I guess we're live technically now. We won't be live if you come and rewatch us, but the replay of our live, pinned in the comments is the link to the OnTap SportsNet article disclosing the 53-man roster. It's got the cuts listed out. It's got all the links back to some of the other articles discussing the PJ Walker cut and whatever. Everything is in there that you need, including the 53-man, which we're going to get into now. So in case you're re-watching or even if you're re-listening to us on maybe podcast form, still check over to the YouTube, and when you're there, you know, hit subscribe, hit the bell button, hit the like button. You know the drill, and you'll know always when Bears on Tap and all of our other great shows go live. But Q, let's dive into this 53-man roster. So, I mean, let's just start from the top. The surprise of the preseason, the surprise of training camp, maybe the surprise of the NFL preseason, even just because of the nature of it. Tyson Bagent is officially QB2. For the Chicago Bears, beats out PJ Walker in the guaranteed money, beats out Nathan Peterman. And as of now, Bears carry two quarterbacks. It's going to be JF1 and Tyson Bagent.
Secret Bagent, man. He's all over it. He's rocking it. And as we said a little earlier, I do hope that we see a veteran come in, because I think one thing that just gets overlooked when thinking about a backup quarterback is the veteran presence of the film room, of
yes,
out on the practice field, of game day, going over the pictures with you and looking at the iPad with you or the Microsoft Surface or whatever it is that they use now. Like, these guys play a real coaching role on every NFL team. I'm not sure you want to trust that with a guy coming from D2, but I'm glad they did keep Bagent, because I think there might be something there as far as developing a backup goes.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, I feel like as Bears fans, we can attest to the elusive backup quarterback being a thing of nightmares for a lot of years, really. Outside of, I mean, you probably got to go all the way back to Rex Grossman starting and Kyle Orton being his backup to really say, like, the Bears had elite backups. Josh McCown.
Oh, don't you with do Cutler. Caleb Haney like that.
Oh, okay. You're all right. Caleb Haney.
He almost won the NFC Championship, man.
Yeah, well, you know.
Until it all came burning down in disastrous fashion.
Yeah, until it all came burning down. But, you know, it really does, though, kind of feel right. Like, even Chase Daniel, I think back to that. And to me, that was more like, hey, he's, like you said, he's a coach in the film room. He's really not there to play a lot of football. Not a terrible quarterback by any means, but like you said with Bagent, right? A guy that's fresh, he's got the poise, he's got the game experience, right? I know it's D2, but when you play 50-something games of college ball, that's more experience than any other motherfucker that's coming out in the draft.
Yeah.
Just that alone is intriguing, especially, I think, from the quarterback position. So it will be interesting to see. And I got a name for you, Q, when we get to the waiver discussion here toward the end of the show. In terms of a veteran quarterback that I would like your thoughts and opinions on. But quarterbacks, any other thoughts before we look at the backfield?
No, Tyson Bagent's coming for your job, Justin Fields. Watch out.
It's funny. Friend of OnTap SportsNet, OnTap SportsNet contributor, Mr. NWI Steve, for those that know him. You probably know him as more of a Bears stan. He believes that Tyson Bagent is QB1. So he'll tell you that Justin Fields is RB1. But speaking of RBs, the real RBs that the Bears retained, they retained four running backs. Khalil Herbert, Deonta Foreman, Travis Homer, and Roschon Johnson all making the rosters. Travis Ebner was waiver/injured. So he's dismissed for the time being. But because he's on injury, I think the way it works in the NFL is like the Bears technically got him covered until he's healthy. It's a weird thing. He wasn't listed on the official cuts, let's put it that way. But he was waived, not a part of the 53-man. And then they also kept Kari Blasingame at the fullback spot. So, Q, the running back room is deep, and it's got a lot of names in it.
Yeah. So one thing I said when they drafted Roschon Johnson was like, it's a lot of running backs. Like, you throw in Kari Blasingame in there, you're talking about you're using five roster spots on running back, fullback. That's just a lot for any team. But clearly they care about it, right? You can follow the tea leaves to see that having a stable of backs is something that they really care about, and they want to make sure they have quality depth there. So if it's something that's that important to them, it tells me it's probably going to be a run heavy attack this year again, which makes sense when you got a quarterback who runs like Justin Fields. But that's really the only thing that I'm seeing out of it. Carrying four running backs and a fullback, they're going to be pounding the football.
For sure. And I think in fairness too, for those that go, well, what the hell? We want to see this Bears team open it up more. They're going to open it up more. This team's going to throw the football more this year than they did last year. Granted, that's not very difficult, but
yeah,
they still, like you said, right? They still want a stable of running backs. I think they looked at what the Philadelphia Eagles did last season, what the Kansas City Chiefs did last season. They didn't run just a one or two back committee. It went as deep as three backs. And in this case, the Bears are going to carry four. That running back by committee, you keep guys more fresh within a game. They don't break down as quickly in terms of just being able to run full steam. And in fairness, Q, right? I mean, the Kyle Shanahan, Matt LaFleur, Luke Getsy offense is still a establish the run and then pass off the run offense. So not terribly surprising there. And I mean, we all love a good fullback. I love seeing the fullback still used in the NFL. So big fan of Kari Blasingame remaining in the fold for the Bears. Q, the wide receivers. This is an interesting group. You and I talked a little bit about this before the show, but the Bears kept six receivers. The obvious three, I guess four, we'll call it, are DJ Moore, Darnell Mooney, Chase Claypool, and then Tyler Scott, fifth round pick this year by Ryan Poles. And then signed in the offseason, Equanimeous St. Brown, and then Velus Jones Jr. is the sixth wide receiver. Very interesting wide receiver room, and I've got some thoughts too, but I want to hear from you first, Q.
Yeah, I mean, so really, I mean, with Pettis on IR right now, I mean, Velus is your returner, right? I mean, unless they're going to throw Tyler Scott back there, who really hasn't returned punts very much in his career. I mean, he's returned kicks, but not punts, and we've, you know, said it multiple times before, they're very different things. So I mean, maybe they add someone here for punt return duties, or maybe they just trust Velus that much after, you know, all that we've seen to make us question it. But really, that's the main thing that stands out to me. I mean, if you go and add a guy, I don't know who you're kicking out of here, because clearly they like Velus, but you're not going to kick out Tyler Scott. You just spent a fourth round pick on him. Equanimeous St. Brown is probably too important as far as the depth he provides. And some people might question that because of his production, which is fair. I get it. But also, this is a guy who knows every receiver position in your playbook. That's not something that you find easily, especially in a offense that asks as much of their receivers as the Bears offense does. From a blocking standpoint, from a motion standpoint, and know each position truly being different, you don't just find a guy who knows all that quickly. So I have a hard time believing that EQ is going to go anywhere, which kind of, I mean, that puts you at six.
Yeah, it's a very, it feels like a Loctite stable, right? Obviously, I think to the general fans, I think even to myself personally, right? You look at the Velus pick and you go, that just feels like because he was a third round pick, he's still on the roster, right? He's left a lot to be desired. I mean, you saw a little bit of the glimpse that I think what he could be in that Buffalo Bills game last year. Obviously caught that huge deep pass from Justin Fields. But really outside of that, like, he hasn't done a lot. And I think that's why people question his spot on the roster. That being said, as you already mentioned, right, he's going to need to – he's probably your kick returner and punt returner at this point. And then on top of it, the other five spots in the receiving room are pretty locked up. You're not going to move DJ Moore. You're not going to move Chase Claypool. You're not going to move Darnell Mooney. And you're not going to move on from Tyler Scott, not when you just use meaningful draft capital on him. And then to your point, Equanimeous knows the offense better than anybody, right? Ran this exact offense in Green Bay. Why do you think – well, we'll talk about them. They're up next anyway. But two other names that are in that same boat, right, that are on this roster. And it's just the run blocking, too, that he provides. Like, I know a lot of people are like, why do you care about a receiver that can run block? Because, as you noted, Q, in this offense, the receivers are asked to block. That's just the nature of the beast. Why do you think no young receivers do well right away in Green Bay? Because it's a complicated system.
Like, there's motions to blocking alignments that they like, and they'll come up to the line with a few options kind of in mind, and then it's like whatever they're seeing, that's what they're going to motion to. So if they're seeing that, you know, the defensive end is in a wide nine alignment, we could punch this thing through the B gap there and have daylight as long as we take that guy out. You might motion EQ over into the slot, and then he's coming in punching out that DN. So boom, your big run. Like that's what we're saying when we're saying there's a lot of conceptual stuff to figure out as a receiver in this offense. A lot of it's blocking and motion. Those are the two big things. And when you can go in motion, you got to know where you got to end up, and you got to know what you got to do. Like those are that. It sounds simple. It sounds like it's nothing, but that when there's a lot of optionality there, it's a lot to figure out.
100%. A quick comment here from a friend of the show, Darren. Darren says, only going to need a punt returner. Nobody returning kickoffs anymore with the laughing emoji. Just stick a guy on kickoffs with good hands. I will agree with that. I think for like the first 8 weeks of the season, and then it gets cold outside and the ball doesn't travel as far. And that's when you actually start seeing a little more in terms of kickoff returns. But I agree. You know, well, when it's nice and hot outside.
Didn't they change the rule where you could fair catch any kickoff for to get it at the 25?
Maybe.
I believe they changed it so you could fair catch it outside the end zone and you get it at the 25, which has made kick returning like pretty obsolete now, which is one of the big things that's tough with Velus. Cause like, if you're not a punt returner, just a kick returner, you better be getting to the 25 every single time.
Yeah. Well, son of a bitch, Darren, you're right. Maybe that's what we'll see. Who knows? It's going to be interesting to see how special teams evolve over the course of this year. Again, a lot of rule changes that have been instituted, I think, into the NFL that we're going to see a little bit more of. Moving on from the receivers, still some pass catchers, though. We got the tight ends. Three are being kept by the Bears. Cole Kmet, no surprise, just got the big payday this offseason. And then a pair of former Packers in Robert Tonyan and Mercedes Lewis. We mentioned why Equanimeous St. Brown is so important to this offense. Tonyan and Lewis are just as important for the same reason. They know the offense inside and out, backwards and forwards. I don't know about you, Q, but I really like this tight end room.
Yeah, I think there's some real beef there. You know, I mean, they're going to be able to beat some guys up. And also, I mean, Tonyan is, he's a fine pass catcher, you know, but he knows it's like on our last episode, we were talking about tight end is a precise position, right? It's a lot of you need to know what you're doing, you need to know when you're doing it, where you're doing it, and that's what Tonyan provides you in this offense, and that's what hopefully he can help Kmet continue to grow with. And those two, I mean, honestly, that's going to be a really nice 12 personnel package with Tonyan and Kmet on the field. But for the first probably quarter to half of the season, I'm thinking like 6 to 8 games, I think we're going to see a heavy dose of Mercedes Lewis next to Darnell Wright, because Darnell Wright has only played 7 preseason snaps, and that sounds like a crash course from Rashawn Gary week 1 if you're not careful.
Yeah, agree 100%. And again, just such an asset though, right, Mercedes Lewis, because if you want to, right, if you're the Bears and you know, remember how every year it felt like we got a Matt Nagy like gag play on the first play of the game.
Yeah,
to start the season, right? We got the T formation is first, you know, in 2018. Yeah. And if the Bears wanted to do some crazy shit in week 1, like you could say, hey, we're going to run three tight ends and one receiver, and it's going to be EQ, and it's just – it's 11 guys – or, you know, 9 guys that can block for whoever's running the football. Because you can't put Mercedes Lewis in there.
Just put Borum out wide.
Yeah, hey, why not? It doesn't matter at this point. Let them know you're going to run the ball. Fuck it. Just pull it off and see what happens. No, but I agree with you. I think we will see a heavy dose of Lewis. I think you'll see Lewis mixed in a lot, too. You know, I think there's a lot of opportunity because of his nature as a blocker where maybe they use that, especially in short yardage situations, to cause a lot of play action and just make an easy dump off pass for Justin Fields to move the chains too.
Oh boy. Now what we're talking about is so what would it be? 21 personnel or 22 personnel with Dan Feeney at fullback and Mercedes Lewis in there, like leading the way, that now we're talking.
That's A-Train shit right there. You could put anybody back there and they might be able to get you a couple of yards with those big boys up in front. Speaking of those big boys up in front, Q, the offensive line, 9 officially at the time of the release, because the Bears were waiting on the physical of Dan Feeney, who they sent a 6th-round pick for to the Miami Dolphins, to the New York Jets. And officially, literally as you and I were sitting on here getting ready to fire this thing up, the Bears made it official. Dan Feeney is officially now a Chicago Bear. So that will make 10 offensive linemen. So joining Feeney is Braxton Jones, Cody Whitehair, Tevin Jenkins, Lucas Patrick, Doug Kramer, Nate Davis, Jatire Carter, Larry Borum, and Darnell Wright. Q, I feel like we had the most interesting and intriguing offensive line conversation this summer with Jonathan Wood. And he talked about, he felt there was a lot to be desired still in terms of additions to the offensive line. With the addition of Dan Feeney, who's a very reliable player. Also, he's a hometown kid, Orland Park native. Big shout out. I live in Orland Park for what it's worth. You know, you get some of that hometown nature that we know Poles likes, right? TJ Edwards, you know, Cole Kmet, Kramer, the list goes on. Do you think this is enough in terms of a unit up front to truly protect Justin Fields and support the run game that the Bears are hoping to do this year?
It gets hairy. I mean, you're a lot of it, like where's Cody Whitehair's hand at right now? You know, is he going to be able to snap by week 1? If he's not, who's playing center? Is it Feeney? Is it Patrick? Do I really trust either of them to be a every snap of the game starter? I don't know. You know, and then you still have questions with, like, Tevin Jenkins is I think Ryan Poles said today, either Poles or Eberflus said that Tevin Jenkins is the only guy who's up in the air for week 1. The rest of this O-line's ready to go. But mm-hmm. I assume that that's with Cody Whitehair playing guard because of his hand, and mm-hmm. which starts to change things. And even Tevin Jenkins, you know, how healthy is he going to be? Nate Davis, how much is he going to be there? I'm starting to question, you know, like, so it's tough. There's the only 2 spots I feel good about are left tackle and right tackle, and right tackle's a rookie.
Yeah. It's tough when you look at this line, because conceptually when this offensive line is 100% healthy, it's not a bad unit, right? Whitehair at center, Tevin Jenkins at left guard, Davis at right guard. And as you just mentioned, the 2 tackles. But unfortunately, we don't play in a world where injuries don't exist. This is not Madden, where you can turn injuries off. Davis has not been able to stay healthy for most of his career. We already know the Jenkins in terms of what he's been dealing with. And even Whitehair the last few years has dealt with a lot of injuries, kind of on and off, and will miss a game or 2 here and there. That's where, like you said, you have to look now at the depth. Can Jatire Carter get the job done if he's thrust into a starting role? Can Dan Feeney get the job done if he's thrust into a starting role? Lucas Patrick, right? The same thing. So, again, I agree with you. I feel good about the guys on the outside. I think Braxton Jones is going to take a step forward this year as a pass blocker. We already know the athlete he is and the kind of run blocker he is. I think over the course of the season, you and I discussed it on last week's show, right, that it doesn't need to be linear, but we need to see the growth from Darnell Wright over the course of the year, and I think we're going to see that. I think he's too good with his hands, to me, to not become at least an adequate NFL tackle, right? Like, that's just my mental thinking with the position. But, yeah, there is a lot of question marks and uncertainty in those interior 3 right now, and to be quite frank, I know everybody, you know, the Lawrence Taylor made the left tackle the most important position on the line. I call bullshit because you can scheme for a guy outside and you could chip him and you can do all that crazy shit. When you're getting pressure straight up the middle as a quarterback, it's really fucking hard to do just about anything. So
yeah,
it's going to be interesting to see what happens with these interior three on the O-line.
Yeah, quickest way from point A to point B is a straight line. And when that straight line's right across from you, it's really quick. So, yeah, I mean, in a perfect world, Whitehair's hand heals up, gets back to center. You know, Nate Davis, I mean, his injury issues haven't been, like, insane. You know, it's like four games a year or something like that. So, hopefully he is right and good to go. I think more of the nervousness there just roots in the fact that we don't see him out there, you know, and it's like he's not practicing. And I'm the first one to say, like, don't get nervous over preseason stuff, over training camp stuff. So, like, I should be listening to my own advice on that, I think, a little more. But and then Tevin Jenkins hopefully gets back and back in there. The reality is at least one of those guys is probably going to miss significant time at some point this year because it's the NFL and it's the offensive line. That's just kind of how it works. So at that point, I mean, I like that they went and made sure to get Dan Feeney because you're looking at some, I mean, the next best option for a center on the market might be Sam Mustafa. So, you know, we're kind of, you just make sure you get someone who's an upgrade from that and you feel better about it. So I can understand giving up that pick to go get him and make sure you, and now you have a guy who, you know, he's athletic. He's a good mover, which is going to fit this system because they want to get the outside zone, the wide zone stuff. And, I mean, really, a lot of quarterback runs, and this is going to sound like, I know we don't want quarterback runs necessarily, but we're going to get them. And a lot of quarterback runs include a center pulling. So you need a center who can get out in space, and that's what Dan Feeney gives you. Because Cody Whitehair gives it to you too, but if he's not playing center, he can't give it to you.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, I think outside of all things football, when it comes to a guy like Feeney, has very meaningful starting experience, right? This isn't just some guy that they're taking a flyer on. Like, he's been around. He knows how to play offensive line in the NFL. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, he is a caricature of what an offensive lineman looks like.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Beautiful. Is he brings the juice to the O-line now. He's got the mullet. He's like cracking beers off his forehead and slugging them at Islanders games as a member of the Jets. I fucking love Dan Feeney, if for no other reason than, like you said, the caricature that he is as an offensive lineman. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. I can't wait for the first game day when he's out there warming up with no helmet on and he's got the flow out and he's just mustaches out and he's got some aviators on coming in for the first game. He looks like a version of Taylor Luan mocking Top Gun. Like, oh, can't wait. It's going to be absolutely awesome. Q, shifting our focus from the Hogs on the offensive side of the ball to the Hogs on the defensive side of the ball. And we'll start at the end position because I think this is where the group is a little more intriguing, in my humble opinion. We noted a little bit about these guys earlier, so we don't need to go too far in depth. We had a lot of discussion about this unit when talking about Travis Gibson, but five DNs kept on the roster by the Bears. We already mentioned Rasheem Green, Terrell Lewis, Yannick Ngakoue, Dominique Robinson, and DeMarcus Walker. On a lot of passing downs, we probably will see Walker kick inside and rush from maybe a three technique, especially on 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10. But a very diverse group, a very different group from a year ago. Only Robinson is the only returner at the end position from that 2022 group. How do you feel about the D end position now coming into the season? And where do you think it fits on, you know, are they one guy away? Are they two guys away? Or do you think this is a unit that can do just enough for this team to have some mild success defensively?
Best case, I think they can get the job done. Best case means that Yannick Ngakoue is getting good quality pressures and sacks at his normal career clips. And Terrell Lewis is a big surprise, right? That's the best case. And those two, they're probably not playing at the same time, but they're in a rotation that's being really effective at getting after the passer. Now, worst case, Ngakoue's numbers come in less important moments. Except he's going to get his numbers. I'm confident in that. But it's just a question of how effective they are. Terrell Lewis, maybe injuries sneak back up on him, or maybe, you know, the course of the NFL season wears on him, like, because he's, I don't think he's ever played a full season. So that type, like, there's just a risk there. And the reason I'm only talking those two guys right now is because those are the, those are your true rush ends, right? Those are your guys who are playing 7, 8, 9 tech that you are saying, you go get the quarterback when it's a pass down. You're not worrying about the run. You're going and getting the quarterback. Right. Now, and Dominique Robinson probably fits in there too, but I do think he is more of a project. So he's probably more of a guy that you're seeing on a more limited basis, limited snap type stuff. Now, outside of those two, I mean, I feel good about DeMarcus Walker and Rasheem Green. They are going to be your base ends. They're going to cover the run. They're going to provide you just enough pass rush to get by, and they are going to kick inside on a lot of passing downs and probably provide you some decent pass rush from the interior. Like, I think those two guys in rotation should play well in that type of role. And I feel fine about those guys being your base ends. I think DeMarcus Walker is a guy who can probably be a starting base end in this league. He hasn't really ever played starting snaps, but I mean, the guy's got juice. Like, you see him on social media and stuff. The guy is chomping at the bit. I feel good about him. Maybe not to repeat the 8 sacks he had in Tennessee last year, but he's going to be playing a different role, I think. And like, so he was much more of a pass rush guy for the Titans, and playing next to Jeffrey Simmons always helps. But because Jeffrey Simmons is probably the most underrated player in the NFL, but that's a different conversation. So ultimately, I'd land that this pass rush unit is probably one star short, or if you're looking at more next year, because Yannick Ngakoue is only on a 1-year deal, they're 2 players short at that point.
Yep, I agree. I like the depth, again, in agreement with you, right? It's a better team. I'm really hoping Terrell Lewis can be a surprise. Thinking back to probably his best season with the Rams was in 2021. He played in 11 games, only started in 4 games, but 3 sacks, 22 combined tackles as a reserve player, showing off some pretty good numbers, and hopefully we can get something out of him. Agree with you, right? Like, those guys give you something both as base ends while still being able to rush the passer. And then obviously Ngakoue is your big pin your ears back, go get him kind of guy on third down. So it's going to be a fun unit to watch, and kind of an extension of that unit, Q, is the tackles, just 4 kept by the Bears. Justin Jones returns again, the lone returner from this unit a year ago. Andrew Billings, the big free agent signing as well at the 1 tech position. And then Javon Dexter and Zach Pickens rounding out the group. Your boy's in this group, so I'm going to let you just talk all the defensive tackle stuff right now, Q.
Yeah, so I'll start with Billings. I mean, Billings is a big boy. We know what he's here to do. He knows what he's here to do. He's here to stop the run. He's just filling up gaps, stopping the run, keeping linebackers clean. It's what he's made a career doing. It's what he's going to keep doing, I hope. I mean, I don't have any reason to think that he won't, but he should keep doing it. Now, Justin Jones, it will be interesting to see him this year next to a guy like Billings, because last year, you think about it, he didn't have a guy taking pressure off him like that. So you might get a bit of an uptick, especially year two with this coaching staff and this scheme. Like, you might see Jones, and also playing less snaps. Jones played a lot of snaps for him last year. He's never played near that many snaps in his career. So being fresher too might help his rate production. And I think that, you know, you can feel okay about that. Like, you don't necessarily want to be starting Justin Jones, but you can start Justin Jones, you know. Like, it's kind of,
for sure,
he falls in that area of, like, he's capable. You can start this guy. Now, Pickens and Dexter, there's something I want to clear up here that, like, I've seen it kind of all over that, you know, Pickens is the 1 tech, according to the Bears. Dexter is the 3 tech. And I think that's a lot of noise. I think it's just a lot of noise. Like, you have no backup nose tackle here. Like, Andrew Billings is your only nose tackle on this roster, according to them. But you got big old Jarvon Dexter staring you in the face saying, I can play nose tackle. Like, and you watch the preseason tape. Most of Pickens' snaps have come in the B gap, which is where three technique plays. And Dexter has played plenty of snaps in both the A gap and the B gap. You see him line up at one tech, two I. So, like, I do not think that they're, the labels here matter very much about what the Bears are calling them. They want their D tackles to be able to play both spots. And it sure seems, based on the preseason, like Pickens is playing more three tech and Dexter's playing more nose tackle or one tech, two I.
Yeah, agreed. And I think you'll see them interchange, right? I think they're both athletes. We already know what Ryan Poles thinks about just pure athleticism on the field. I would expect to see both of them probably playing both positions, truthfully, throughout the year. I agree, though. I think we'll see more Dexter at one versus Pickens, but I think you'll see a little bit of both of them at each position as well. Cue the linebackers. This is an interesting group. There's one really big surprise name in here that made the list. Obviously, Tremaine Edmonds, TJ Edwards, no surprise. Or Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards, try saying that 10 times fast. No surprise there with those two making the roster. Sanborn, not a lot of surprise there. Noah Sewell had a really nice preseason, not a lot of surprise there. Dylan Cole is the fifth linebacker to make the roster. I admittedly don't know shit about Dylan Cole, but the rest of the unit to me looks pretty good, especially from a year ago. Vastly different looking unit from 2022.
Yeah, Dylan Cole out of Montana State. That's all I know.
Household name.
Entered the league in 2017, undrafted. Played 440 snaps last year for someone. I'm not sure where he played. Texans. Played for the Texans. Oh, so he's one of Lovey's boys. So he knows the scheme, knows the defense. I mean, he had to beat out probably 10 different guys for this spot. So, I mean, he was batting them away like flies, evidently. And I believe, now that I saw that he was with the Texans last year, it's kind of popped in my head. I believe he played a lot of special teams. So I imagine that he's a guy who's going to contribute a lot on that front. Yeah, outside of that, I mean, we knew Edmonds, Edwards. Those are your main two starters. Jack Sanborn's listed as the starting Sam. I think we're going to see quite a bit of Noah Sewell play as well, because I think that they have a specific role for him in mind this year. And then, like I was just saying, Dylan Cole's probably your special teams guy, and hopefully you don't see him. But if you do, hopefully he's good enough to fill a gap.
Yeah, I mean, we saw a lot of names.
Literally and figuratively fill a gap.
Literally and figuratively. I mean, we saw a lot of names at the linebacker position last year, again, because of injury and stuff. And we already know how that works in the NFL. So absolutely could see a lot of Dylan Cole. But like you said, I think special teams is where we will see the most of him. Q, moving forward to the back end defensively. We'll start at the corner spot. Jalen Johnson, Kyler Gordon, Tyreek Stevenson, probably the three easy locks. Terrell Smith, also a draft pick in this year's class out of Minnesota. He made the roster as well. And then Jalen Jones and Josh Blackwell rounding it out. Blackwell, a noted special teamer. So Blackwell, also a guy that they got last year off of waivers, worth noting. So those are your six corners going into the season. Q, thoughts about the group?
Yeah, so I mean, starting at the back end of it, Jalen Jones and Josh Blackwell also had a lot of competition in camp. And these were the two guys left standing. Like, Marcus Stroman was one of the guys who didn't end up making it back out of the group. That the Bears had a lot of different guys coming in and out last year in at the cornerback position that they got good looks at. And so you feel pretty good about those two guys having to being a bit more battle tested, coming through all the competition and still being here standing. Now with Terrell Smith, I think ideally you don't see a lot of him this year because you don't want injuries. You know, he's probably your number four. And if a guy goes down, I think you feel okay about putting him in there. He is fairly raw still. A lot of really good athletic traits that you can project, but actual technique is still probably something he's needing to work on. If a guy like Tyreek Stevenson or Jalen Johnson goes down, I think you just let him swim, you know, throw him in and let him go, because he does have those tools. And I think he's a competitor. I mean, based on his film in Minnesota, I definitely thought he was a competitor who was going to go figure it out. And at the starting spots, Tyreek Stevenson, I went through our podcast from last week and typed up a lot of it and made an article out of it today.
Contactsports.com.
I noticed, so I was talking about, like, and he's got to not get penalties. Tyreek Stevenson had 5 flags thrown on him in 3 preseason games. That cannot happen. And I think, and I'm hoping it doesn't, you know, but, like, it can't. That's not acceptable. 4 of them were accepted. 1 of them was declined. But, like, that's still 5 flags thrown as far as I see it. So, hopefully that dwindles down. I love his physicality. I love how much he's chatting with his opponents out there. I think it's great, but you got to back it up. So we'll see how he backs it up against Green Bay in week 1. I'm thinking he's going to rise to the occasion, but I think there will be points this year where we're pulling hair out of our heads and I don't have much to spare. So, like, I think there's going to be some moments where there's some rookie moments in there.
For sure.
Jalen Johnson, contract year, big year for him, big year for him. Cornerbacks get paid a lot of money if they prove that they are in that top tier. And if they it's kind of weird. Corner and wide receiver both have hit this point in the market where, like, you're either a tier one guy and you're getting $20 million a year, or you're a tier two guy and you're getting 10. No one makes 15. Like, so he's in a year where he needs to, his goal is to prove I am that $20 million a year shutdown corner, which he has always looked like when he's healthy. It's when he's been playing hurt that stuff has really kind of the questions have opened up. And then Kyler Gordon, this is a huge year to see his growth, to see him in that nickel corner spot where he did have some struggles in there last year, but his profile, his athletic profile, his ability, his movement abilities should fit like a glove into that spot and be really fun to watch. And I'm excited to see how he plays there.
Yeah, we're going to see a lot of those last 3 guys, right? Jalen Johnson, Tyreek Stevenson, and Gordon for sure. I agree with you. You know, big year for Jalen. It's going to be fun to see Gordon's development in year 2. And Stevenson's got to cut the penalties. So no additional thoughts there from me, Q, but we will move to the safeties. Some pretty standard names here from a year ago, 3 of the 4. Very familiar names to Bears fans. Eddie Jackson, Jaquan Brisker are your starting safeties. Elijah Hicks and AJ Thomas are your backups. Any thoughts from the safety unit, Q?
Did Hicks make the team? I'm thinking the rookie. The rookie didn't make it. The 7th round pick. I just got him mixed up with Hicks.
Kendall Williams.
Last year's 7th round pick. Yeah, so Eddie Jackson, I just saw something today that he's expected to be good for week 1, or like loosely expected to be. I don't think it was anything too official, but which is, I didn't even realize that was in question. So I would say that's a sigh of relief, but I didn't even know about it till I read it. but I'm hoping Eddie Jackson can bounce back from his Achilles. I think he's the type of player with how much he is an instinctive player and how he's such a smooth player. It's not like not like jittery explosiveness that he wins with or anything like that. It's like it's up here that he wins with. It's the knowledge, it's the understanding, the gut feel. That is what he does so well. So I think that he'll bounce back from his Achilles fine, but he is almost 29 now, and you know, it's fair to question, you know, how many more years do we have this version of Eddie Jackson? So we'll see on that. The Achilles is a rough injury, but I'm hoping he's the same dude. And Jaquan Brisker, I'm interested to see how Brisker, like, we all love Jaquan Brisker, right? Last year he made some fun plays. He led the team in sacks, like that. There was some fun stuff with him, but there was also some real question marks in coverage with him too. And I'd really like to see him iron some of those out early this year, show that he's got he has kind of figured out some of the coverage responsibilities that he was struggling with some more last year. So I'm interested to see how he opens the season with that. I think that he's a hardworking kid. I mean, he came from I want to say it was a junior college in Pennsylvania that went to Penn State, and like he had a tough upbringing. Like he's clearly a guy who's worked his butt off to be here. So I have faith that he, you know, continued that, and I'm excited to see it. And then AJ Thomas is a guy who I really don't know a lot about, but a guy who I have noticed in preseason games as, you know, making some fun plays, making some good plays. So maybe there's something there. Let me see. Where was he? When was he coming in the league? 2022. So last year was his rookie year. So if there's something there, it's like we'll probably find out sooner than later. And then Elijah Hicks, big-time special team contributor. I don't know how much you want to count on him being on the field for defense, but who knows? Maybe he takes a step this year if he gets the opportunity.
100%. I have nothing else to add there. I think, like you said, the two talking points, seeing another leap out of Brisker, just as we're expecting out of a guy like Kyler Gordon. And then, yeah, how many more years do we get elite Eddie Jackson? His contract's coming up too. I think this is actually the last year of his contract.
I think so.
So will certainly be something to keep an eye on for the Bears. And we're not going to talk too much depth because it's the same unit from a year ago, but your specialists are still Cairo Santos, Trenton Gill, and Patrick Scales. So that unit is still largely in order. Q, let's talk a little bit now as we hit the hour mark about the waivers. Obviously, I think we feel good about now that we've gone through the 53-man, there's going to be some names out there. And rather than sit here and list off a ton of them and what positions and things like that, I think you've got some guys. I've got some guys. I think there's probably a position or two we can agree that they'll explore in the waiver wire. But for everybody to know, waivers hits tomorrow. So Wednesday might be when you're listening to this. The Bears are the top waiver spot, so they will get first dibs at everybody. And last year they
– it doesn't work like fantasy football where you only get one and then you move to the back of the line.
Facts. It is. You are firmly at the top for whoever you want. And then in addition, this was a Bears team that last year obviously was a different team and based on going into the season, but they got seven guys off waivers. I would expect at least probably three this year. Q, you've got a name in mind that you think the Bears should target. I would love to hear more about it if you're ready to share.
Well, I mean – yeah, I grabbed the Mustipher brothers, Sam Mustipher and PJ Mustipher. They're both available. They've never been. I've heard they have superpowers when they're together.
It's like a
I liked PJ Mustipher's Penn State tape a little bit. It was surprisingly good. He was stronger than I expected, but that's not serious. the guy who I am just miffed by is the Colts fifth round pick cornerback this year, Darius Rush. He was number 63 on Dane Brugler's big board this year. I mean, he's a raw player, but he's a special teams contributor and a very strong athlete, like 4.38 40, I believe. He's like 6'2", long arms. I mean, there's a lot to like in his profile. And if I'm so confused as to why he would have gotten waived. Like it just doesn't add up to me unless there's something major off the field that hasn't been announced yet. Like it just, it's shocking because he fell on draft day. Like he was projected to be a third, fourth round pick, fell to the fifth round. Colts picked him up and now he's not even making the team. And it's rare that fifth round picks don't make the team. You know, that's kind of the line. Fifth round is where guys are still almost guaranteed the roster spot. And then sixth, seventh, it's hit or miss.
Travis Bell, an example of that.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm really interested to see what happens there with the Bears being the number one spot. Like, I don't know. I mean, we were just talking about who were the fifth and sixth cornerbacks in the Bears is Josh Blackwell and
Jalen Jones.
I mean, one of them might be out of spot if you're going after Darius Rush, but I think that might be like you got to, when you have the number one waiver spot, you need to take advantage of someone making an ill-advised move. That's how you do it. Is the way unless something comes out that says otherwise.
Yeah, agreed. And you would think that a lot of these teams around the NFL are probably in the know if there is something that hasn't been announced yet. But I agree completely. And you know what? Just based on everything you listed, right, he feels like a prototypical Tampa 2 corner, right? He's big. He's got long arms. You know, that's probably a guy that the Bears are like, he would look kind of good on the outside for us. And especially at a cornerback position where last year we saw it. They had to go deep into the cupboard because of injuries. You know, who's to say that that doesn't happen again this year? Q, I got a name that I want to punt by you. And it's the spicier of my two names that I had on my board. My first one, I'm just going to rattle it off really quick. It is wide receiver from the Cincinnati Bengals. That is Trent Taylor. Everybody's probably wondering, who the hell is that guy? Well, he returns punts. So that to me is alone a reason that he could be on the board. Maybe he's the guy that ultimately kicks Bayless off the roster. We'll see. I think that's a big we'll see pick, but I know a lot of people, as soon as he was announced as a wave today or a cut today, a lot of people were hitting the old, you know, well, Bears, maybe the Bears. But Q, a guy that I'm intrigued by, you mentioned, right, the Bears wanting to add a veteran in that quarterback room. What would your thoughts be potentially about a guy like Colt McCoy being an addition for the Bears to be that vet to come in and add some of that leadership behind Fields from an NFL veteran standpoint?
Did he get waived?
He did.
Get him. That's easy. I mean, that is easy. Go get him. That makes all the sense in the world. I just started watching Hard Knocks in season last night, and Colt McCoy seems like a great dude. Like, and he knows the game. He's seen a lot of football. The only question, I guess, would be, like, does he want to keep playing?
Sure.
You know, I mean, he's, what, 38 now, I believe, 38, 39. But this is a guy who's seen a lot of football, seen a lot of different systems. That's exactly the kind of player that you're looking for.
Yeah, 100%. And it was interesting because, right, he got waived. He's 36. He'll be 37, actually, September 5th. So next week, he'll turn 37 officially. But he's just such an interesting name because, right, the Cardinals are a garbage fire. We already know that. They're tanking. They're doing what the Bears did last year, right? They are tanking. Because Kyler Murray's on the PUP list. He's probably not back until at least halfway through the season. And
I don't know if they're releasing, I almost wonder if Murray's closer than we think. If they're releasing McCoy.
Well, maybe, because they also went out, mind you, and got Joshua Dobbs. They traded for him from Tennessee.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And it's gonna be either him or what's his face? The guy that they already had there. His name is escaping me at the moment.
The rookie, right out of Houston.
Yes. Yes, that guy.
I forget his
name. It's going to be one of those two coming in and starting week one. So they opted to have those two be the guys instead of potentially Colt McCoy, who, again, just gives you at least a chance as a starting quarterback.
Hey, to me, yeah, I mean, like, he's jumped – each of the last 2 years, he's jumped in and won a game when they needed him to.
Yeah, so I think that's at least they got to kick the tires on it. I mean, if it ends up working out where they feel like it's not the right fit or whatever, so be it. But hard believer that he needs to be on their radar. There's really not a lot of other veteran quarterbacks, a lot of young quarterbacks though. Q, just dropping a couple names here. Max Duggan, the TCU product, he was let go by the Chargers. He's expected to garner a lot of interest, according to some NFL insiders. Kellen Mond is a hot steaming pile of garbage. Patriots, nobody knows what the hell the Patriots are doing. They got rid of Bailey Zappe, Trace McSorley, and Malik Cunningham. So currently, apparently it's just Mac Jones right now. We'll see how that shakes out. But they are vastly different looking in that quarterback room than they were during the preseason. So it really does feel like if the Bears are looking to add that veteran that isn't, you know, Brett Rypien, no offense, Brett Rypien, like Colt McCoy to me is the answer. If they're truly looking to add a veteran in that quarterback room, to me, it's got to be Colt McCoy. So that's a name that I'm certainly keeping an eye on in the next day or so.
Yeah. I mean, even some of the parallels you could look at, like with Kyler Murray to Justin Fields, like, He's played with a quarterback that has some similarities to your quarterback. True. And like been his mentor or whatever you want to call it. Another interesting, man, the Cardinals are, it's interesting. Rashard Lawrence.
Pile of garbage.
I'd be interested in Rashard Lawrence.
Yeah.
6'2", 308-pound interior D lineman. I mean, he's he's never been great, but like he's been solid in the past. Yeah. And I think that that's a guy you might say that can help our interior.
100%. I mean, and you figure I have to think they're going to look at offensive linemen, and not a lot of names necessarily off the top of my head as I'm scrolling through the list of all the available.
A lot more tackle. And like the only guy that really stands out to me that I'd maybe take a shot on is Akeem Adeniji out of Cincy. And he can play guard or tackle, but like he's never, he came in the league so raw and just like pure upside. And he's never, it's never fully clicked for him. So it's still like, I mean, you'd rather have Larry Borum. So yeah. That's kind of where I end up sitting with it. Like I don't know if I'd actually go after him or not, because I'd rather have Larry Borum than him.
You're telling me you wouldn't have David Quisenberry instead?
The Quisenberry brothers, man, they are all over this league.
They are
all over. Second one retires, another one enters. It's wild.
It is wild.
So I will say on, I think it's Quisenberry. It's either him or Dennis Kelly. They had a career year in Tennessee like 2 years ago. As just like, and they were just a really good run blocker there. And if the Bears are trying to mimic some of Tennessee's rushing offense, which it seems like they might be trying to do, like with going after Nate Davis, basically if they liked what Nate Davis was doing in Tennessee because they want to do more of what Tennessee does,
sure,
that's a guy that could make sense.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. And you know, again, just kind of scrolling here. I mean, there's so many names to go through, and we could sit here all day and talk about it.
I got the Lions cut my dude, Ryan Swoboda, undrafted rookie out of UCF, 6'10", 315 pounds. This dude is a mountain, and he can move. I'd love to see him go grab him, but that's just because he was my, like, favorite guy who I knew wouldn't get drafted. So it's just, he's ridiculous. His tape is just like, you shouldn't move that fast when you're that big. And he's probably a walking injury, but like, I would love it.
Yeah. He's a mammoth of a human being. A fun little fact too, of a name that will be interesting to keep an eye on as well. Former Chicago Bear DHC, DeAndre Houston Carson, was a cut by the Baltimore Ravens. So, guy that looked really good on special teams for a lot of years, played a really nice safety. So maybe if the Bears were a little concerned and said, hey, you know, we like Elijah Hicks, but we don't love Elijah Hicks. And that's probably a guy you can pass through onto the practice squad. You know, maybe you can go get a DHC or another safety. I wouldn't honestly be shocked if they went for a safety either in all this. To me, the top positions, though, are going to be the trenches, obviously. But I mean, who's to say that they don't go out and grab a depth safety if there's a guy that they like more than either A.J. Thomas or Elijah Hicks? So be interesting to see. But there's a whole hell of a lot of names out there that are going to be going different places over the next, you know, 24 to 48 hours here, Q. But, my friend, we are approaching the hour 15 mark. Any final thoughts on the 53, man? Any final thoughts on waivers? Just any final thoughts in general here?
Just go get Darius Rush.
I like it. I like it. Hey, short, sweet, and to the point. My thoughts, I'm just excited. Today's the kind of like unofficial first day of the NFL season. 53-mans are set. I think we all like the Bears 53-man significantly better than it was a year ago. It's a team that's got a lot of expectation, a lot of uncertainty. I think that's what's going to make part of this year a lot of fun for us to cover here at Bears on Tap. And for everybody else that's going to be watching the team over the course of the season, ladies and gentlemen, before we get out of here, two quick things. Like I said, Bears football's back. Secondly, the next time you hear from us, it's motherfucking game week. And I don't know about you, Q, but I am so excited. The next time you hear from us here at Bears on Tap, it will be Packers week. And we'll be here talking about what's coming up, talking about storylines. Again, as we kind of noted, we're going to change it up a little bit this year because we have our friends here. Remember, we are one of two Bears podcasts, the On Tap Sports Network. Check out our friends over at the Bears Nation Pod. They do two shows a week. They do their game recap show and then game preview shows on Mondays and Wednesdays. We're hoping to be that little bit of we're the best part of the Oreo right there in the middle. Not to say that the outsides aren't good either. But we're going to bring you a little different flair from Bears on Tap. It's not going to be repetitive. It's not just going to be a flat game recap. We're going to try and focus on storylines. We're going to maybe hit some with some hot takes. A plethora of things to come here from Bears on Tap this year. I know I'm excited. Q, I certainly hope you're excited as well. And our friend Juice, also excited. I think he was boycotting being on the show until preseason was over because he's in the same boat as you, Q. He absolutely hates fake football or fake sports in general. So, but again, ladies and gentlemen, next time you see us, it will be game week for your Chicago Bears. They are the 3:25 primetime game on September 10th. So you get to enjoy the noon slate of games and just chill and track your fantasy football team. And then you can dive right in and be excited about what the Bears have to offer. But before we get out here, as always, Bears on Tap, as we mentioned, one of two Bears podcasts here at the On Tap Sports Network covering the Chicago Bears. Us at Bears on Tap, our friends over at Bears Nation Pod on all social media platforms. We are at Bears on Tap on the same. I am at Loose on Tap, at Butkus Stats, the best account on Twitter. If you're not following yet, I don't know what the fuck you're doing. Be sure to follow our third co-host as well, Mr. Juice on Tap as well. You know the drill. We've got it all at On Tap Sports and at both sides of town for baseball, Cubs and White Sox, Blackhawks and Bulls also on our coverage list as well. And so much more here from the On Tap Sports Network. So check out ontapsportsnet.com at On Tap Sportsnet on social media, the On Tap Sports Network. Go ahead and check out what's on tap in Chicago sports. Q, it's always a pleasure, buddy, to talk Bears football with you. But next time we're back, it's game week. And I'm ready. So absolutely. What do you say, buddy? We get out of here the only way we know how? Bear down, baby.
Bear down.